And I have a couple of people help me with the communion, and we will. Jesus said to take this as often as you will. One thing it's important to remember is every time that you proclaim the Lord's death, you also pronounce the devil's defeat. Because Jesus defeated him squarely at every level. And then when he came back to life, he completely defeated him. He even defeated death. He even defeated death. So we're going to discern the Lord's body, and we'll look at this squarely. This bread is without yeast. That means it is perfectly sinless in the Old Testament. Yeast is significant of sin. And in the body of Jesus, there was no sin. He was completely pure. This bread has also been beaten, and Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. This bread has stripes in it, and it's by his stripes that we were healed, and it's been pierced. And everywhere Jesus shed his blood, he got redemption for us. And this bread is also slightly burned to the glory of God. The full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus when he got on that cross. That judgment that was meant for us was laid on him. Now we can take the life of Christ into us and receive his healing. Jesus, your blood not only washed away our sins, your blood completely defeats the devil every single time. Your blood has sealed the New Testament promises. And it's on us. It has washed us. And it has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, because we are in right standing with you, Father, we can come boldly into your throne room of grace, and we can receive mercy and grace in a time of need. Amen. Are we having children's church today? No. I guess not. Okay. I want you to hold up your iPhone and your Bible and repeat after me. In this Bible contains God's words. And if God says I can do something, I can do it. If God says I can have something, I can have it. If Jesus tells me to go somewhere, and he has equipped me to go somewhere. Amen? Amen. Now, open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, verse 46, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your Holy Spirit that teaches us and guides us. We thank you, Father, that each time we look into your word, that it comes alive in our hearts, and we can speak it forth by faith into this kingdom around us. And we can cause things to change. We can change our environment. We can change the physical things around us. We can change the well-being of others. We can change the whatever it is you think you need us to change. We can change it by your word. Amen? Amen. Okay. Have any of you ever asked yourself this question? Can we do the things in the Bible that the apostles did? Can we do the things that the early disciples did, the early church did? Can we do these things? Some people have tried to explain it away and say, well, that was for the early church. This is the early church. We're still the same church. We're still the same body. Jesus didn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some will try to explain it away and say, well, that was just to get the Bible. That was just to get the Bible started, to get the early church started. And the apostles went away. The apostles haven't went away. They're still here. That's the fivefold ministry. God gave the fivefold ministry to the church. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. He's not what they used to call an Indian giver. He doesn't give and then take back. He gave it to the church once and for all, and it's settled forever. The fivefold ministry belongs to the church. Amen? And the fivefold ministry job is to point people to Jesus. See, sometimes these hot rods, you see, you can vision a circle. And Jesus being in the center of everything. And the fivefold ministers are out here on the edge of this circle with the people, pointing them to Jesus. Sometimes these hot rods like to slip into that circle and get people to looking at them. Makes them feel important. That's a terrible place. That is a terrible place for them to put themselves, and it's a terrible thing for people to fall for it. Sometimes people will turn into pastor worshipers. And then when something happens to that pastor, that flock gets scattered all over the place, and it never gets gathered back up. Amen? They need to be Jesus worshipers. But the pastors, evangelists, all the fivefold need to be pointing people to Jesus. Amen? Now I'm going to get over here to Luke chapter 8 real quick and look at this verse. Then we're going to skip around a little bit. Luke 8, verse 46. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is God hears God's word. You therefore hear them not, because you are not God. Our job is to hear God. In the garden, Adam had this personal one-on-one fellowship with God. He walked with him in the cool of the morning. And then he got cut off from God when he sinned. He got kicked out of the garden. He couldn't have that contact with him no more. Remember, we're studying about this personal relationship, this personal fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And it's that one-on-one fellowship with him that's going to cause us to be able to do the things that he desires us to do out in the kingdom, out in the mission field. Amen. I remember one time a lady told me, said, I want to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in the church. And she was talking about inside the building. And I said, well, that's not God's best for you. God's best for you is for you to hear directly from Him. Amen. And then the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate out in the mission field. Now go to 2 Peter. Well, before I do that, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to drive this home. I hope somebody circles this verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. You need to circle these. I'm going to give you two verses. I'm going to give you this one in Philippians chapter 4. That's the meditation verse. This is one of those things you meditate on and get it in your heart. So I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Think about that for just a second. It says, I can do all things through Christ. That's the anointing. Remember, you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you get the anointing. You can do all things through that anointing, which strengthens you. It's the anointing that strengthens you. Notice it didn't say, I can do all things through Jesus. It said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus told us to ask and he would do it. We get that anointing on us. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You get that anointing upon you. The Holy Spirit comes upon you. He's in there when you get born again. I know you got the Holy Spirit, but when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he comes upon you. And that's the anointing. You get the anointing of the Holy Spirit to go out there and do good and heal all that are oppressed of the devil. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Amen? You're way smarter than what you know. You have the mind of Christ. You know, you have the smartest one in the whole world on the inside of you. Some of the greatest inventions that have happened through tongue talkers. You know, the alloy to steel to make it stronger? That was a tongue talker. He'd been trying to find this special alloy to make steel stronger, and he just couldn't come up with it. And he prayed and prayed and prayed. And he's walking up a trail one day. He liked hiking. He's walking up this trail one day, and God told him to pick up that rock. That's your alloy. Now, here's the thing. He's going to talk to us on our level. He's not going to talk to you in Charlton Heston's voice. That guy would have probably run back down that mountain if he had heard Charlton Heston's voice. But then do it. There are too many times people have been at the coffee table having coffee in the morning after a bad yesterday, saying to themselves, something told me not to do that. His name is not something. He's Holy Spirit. He tells us to do things. He tells us not to do things. He tells us to turn left. He tells us to turn right. Our job is to hear him and do it. So this guy picked up that rock, put it in his pocket, went about his day. And then he went home and he thought, you know, I'll just throw this rock in this machine and see what happens. And that's how that alloy to steel came about. And it worked. But that guy would have said, oh, that's just a rock. I've been a scientist for 50 years. That's just a rock. What would have happened? But see, we got to listen to him. Amen? And then do it. Listen and then do it. Now go to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, often. That's an easy one to remember. That's one of the first ones I ever remembered. Amen? And I had to get that one in my heart, because I'd spent a lifetime people telling me all these different things I couldn't do and all these reasons I couldn't do them. And then after you get bombarded with that long enough, pretty soon you start buying into it. And then pretty soon you're sitting there saying, oh, I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't go there. That's not the way God designed you. When I found that verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, in the Bible, it said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I thought, oh, Lord, have mercy. That's my key to freedom right there. I started meditating on that verse, and I started doing all those things that all those people said I couldn't do for all those reasons. Amen. Now look at Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. 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 Circle that word. All means all. He didn't give it to just preachers. He didn't give it to just these special few. He gave it to all. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All means all. I'm telling you, if Peter could do it, you could do it. If Paul could do it, you can do it. And I'll even one up. Jesus could do it. You could do it. And that's not just crazy talk. That's straight from the Bible. John 14, verse 12, 13, and 14. Jesus gave you equal authority with him on this earth. You are the body of Christ. You're not separated from him. We're one with him. We're in him. Our lives are hid in Christ. When you got born again, you got baptized into the body of Christ. It's not Jesus out there and the church over here. That would mean that the head is over here and the body's over here. No, we're one. We're one. Amen. I don't know if my faith is good. It's not about you and your faith. It's about him and his grace. And you taking up your spiritual authority in Christ Jesus and doing the things that he said to do. I promise you, if you look for reasons why you can be good enough and not be good enough, you're always going to fail. You're never going to be qualified on your own merit. So we just put the pressure on Jesus. We take it off us, put it on Jesus where it belongs, and watch him do great and mighty things through our lives. Amen? Okay. Now go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Have any of you ever heard this? God will share his glory with no man. If you've ever been in some of those settings where they like to beat on people, God will share his glory with no man. Did you know that's just not right? Yeah, he'll not share his praise. He will not share his praise. Anyway, don't ever let yourself receive praise. You know, sometimes, I mean, people, it's innocent in what they're doing, but they'll, I'll pray for somebody and somebody will get better and they'll be grateful, and they'll be saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And they'll say, praise God, praise God, praise God. Yeah, but thank you. And I say, oh, praise God. Jesus did it. Yeah, but you prayed. Yeah, I prayed, but Jesus did the healing. He said, you do the asking, he'd do the doing. Amen? But God does want his glory to be seen on the church. He wants his church to be a glorious church. He wants his church to be bright and shiny. He wants his people to be a peculiar people. Why? You know, I've seen people before I got born again. I'd see people once in a while, and I could tell a pastor a block away. I could see one of them rats coming a mile away. This is when I was drinking. I'd see a pastor and I'd say, "Man, are they ever going to give up?" And I'd go I'd go 2 miles out of my way to get around the pastor. And I'd think, "I got it. I made it to the bar. I'm going to be all right." And I'd sit down and have me a glass of whiskey, and a pastor would come in and sit by me. But look, God wants his church to be a glorious thing. He wants them to be bright and shiny so that these lost people will see them and say, "Why is this guy so happy? Why does he get to eat? I work just as hard as he does. Why don't I get to go eat at a nice place?" I had one guy, he was a jockey, and I'd seen him, he'd been watching me. I'd been watching him. I needed a rider. I need somebody to exercise horses. And he was with the wrong crowd, and I knew it. But he just stayed out there. And I went over and I tried to talk to him. He stayed away from me. Finally, one day, it took about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Finally, he come over to my barn and he said, "I heard you need a rider." I said, "Yeah, I need a rider." And he said, "Are you sure you're not high?" I said, "I'm not high." He said, "Nobody can be that happy and not be on heroin." I said, I'm not high. I'm okay. So he went to work for me, riding horses for me. And then he got born again and he got baptized. Amen. Praise God. But see, he seen something in me that just wasn't computing with the rest of the world. That's what God wants. He wants people to look at the church and say, "I want that. I want that." One guy told me the most frustrating thing. I was reading this thing, and he said, "You should preach the gospel every day of your life, and if you have to, use words." And I thought, how do you do that? I couldn't figure that one out, so I just went about my business. A couple years later, my pastor called me from Wyoming and said, "Do you know these people?" And I said, "No, I don't. I kind of, but not... not real close." So, well, they came to church. And they came up to me and said, "We know Skeet from before Jesus. And we know Skeet after Jesus. Whatever you did to him, do that to us." See, God wants his glory to be seen on the church. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge and of Jesus our Lord. Of God and of Jesus our Lord. Through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Do you want grace and peace multiplied upon your life? It's going to come through knowledge of God and Jesus. The more you learn of Jesus, the more grace and peace is going to be multiplied on your life. What am I talking about grace? I'm talking about undeserved, unmerited favor upon your life. The favor of God on your life. I'm talking about the favor that though you're, there might be 15 people more qualified to do the job you're after, you get picked because the grace and favor of God is on your life. Amen? Now, it's going to come through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. The more you look at Jesus, the more you read of Him, the more you learn of Him, the more you learn about what He's done for you on the cross, the more knowledge of Jesus you get, the more grace and favor is going to be multiplied upon you. If that's not reason enough, pick up your Bible and read it. Well, it is. Grace and favor. Grace and peace. Not just peace like the world gives. Shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. That word Jesus used, shalom. Just as an adventure, you might just Google a true Jewish ministry and call one of them on the phone and listen to how they greet you. They say, shalom. Shalom. That blessing of God upon you. We get it from Jesus. He's our high priest. The shalom coming from Jesus. That's cool stuff. Verse 3 says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him has called us to glory and virtue. There's that word glory. Talking about us. He's called us to glory and virtue. Virtues. Christians are to show before all men the perfections of wisdom, knowledge, justice, truth, love, patience, holiness, goodness, grace, joy, peace, faith, and all these other attributes. Powers of the divine Trinity. These virtues are to be demonstrated by Christians to angels and men. The things Jesus, basically what it's saying, things Jesus did, God wants those flowing through you and you doing them. Amen? Jesus is the first fruits. We're the fruit after Him. We're in His image. We've got His life in us. We're called to go out there and show these things forth. Did Jesus heal people? No, that's what we're supposed to do in the name of Jesus. Jesus cast out devils? That's what we're supposed to do in the name of Jesus. Jesus walked on water. I want to try that. I want to do that someday. That one and being translated. That's better than an airplane, man. I like airplanes. Well, I think it would be really cool to just be here and be on the East Coast in 30 minutes or Alaska. That'd be way cool. Well, the evangelist, he got translated. Woo. I want that. I've never seen that, but I believe it because it's in the Bible. I've seen it in the Bible. I know it to be true. I haven't lived it experientially, but we're going to get there. Amen? God wants His glory to be seen on you. He wants His virtue to be seen on you. The woman with the issue of blood come up and touched Jesus, and she was immediately healed. And Jesus asked, who touched me? And these guys said, there's people all over the place. And you ask us, who touched you? And I felt virtue flow out of my body. That was the anointing flowing out of his body into that woman to be healed. That's how that happens. He anoints you. You lay hands on the sick. That anointing flows through your body into somebody else and they get healed. Amen? Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Before we get off of this part. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What would that, who would that be? That's describing a somebody. That's describing Jesus. You know, in the verse just before that, talking about the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then we just find out that the more we learn of Jesus, the more knowledge we get of Jesus, that grace and peace will be multiplied. I'm giving you this is your ticket right here to peace, health, finances, freedom, strength in your body, healing, whatever it is you need in your life, that shalom, that grace and peace that is multiplied by Jesus is right here. It's in these verses. When we think on Him, when we cast our eyes upon Him, when we learn of Him, these things get added unto us. Remember the Bible tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. This is your way to prosperity. That doesn't sound like the prosperity gospel though, does it? Remember, we're to receive from Him. Receive from Him. He already freely given it to us with Christ Jesus. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Do you know that you have access to information that the angels don't have access to? How can that be since you've been made a little lower than angels? See, that was a Rat Fink translation. People need to rightfully divide the word of truth. We've been made a little lower than God. Angels have been sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. That's us. Amen. We have access to things they don't. We're the sons of God. We're the children of God. Say this. If you're a guy, say you're a son. If you're a girl, say you're a girl. Say you're a daughter. I am a son of God. I am a son of God. I am not a lowly servant. You're not a lowly servant. You're not a worm. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are a very child of God, a son of God. And God loves you with the same love that He loves Jesus with. That's you. You are a minister of the highest rank. Well, not part of the fivefold. It don't matter. You are still a minister of the highest rank with a mighty important ministry out there in the mission field. Amen? It's not insignificant. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Some of the old religious ideas have to be dealt with, and they have to be wiped off of your plate. And you have to take your place in Christ and be there and not let anybody talk you down from it. Because God puts you in that place, and it cost Him a mighty price. He did it with the shed blood of His own Son. And that's not something that we want to take lightly. That's a serious thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. Oh, wow. I went to Colossians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 9 says, "For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We're fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised." That doesn't sound like a low estate for you, does it? That sounds like somebody who has value in the kingdom. Now we'll go to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll finish up with this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. "Make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." He wants you to have His wisdom in you. In fact, He has given you the spirit of wisdom. He has given you the spirit of revelation. These demons that we run into from time to time, they need to know that you have absolute power and authority over them. That's the way God intended it to be. You should never back down from a demon. Here's another thing. This is something that the church fights with continuously, and it's not necessary. You never ever, as a born again Christian, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, bought by the shed blood of Jesus, you should never ever back down from intimidation, manipulation, or domination. You never, ever bow your knee to that. Intimidation, manipulation, or domination. That's witchcraft. And as a child of God, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you do not ever bow your knee to those things. If you get cornered, you come out of that corner fighting like a mad coon. If you give somebody a bloody nose, you tell them to call me. I gave you permission. Look, the church has been running around saying we're supposed to turn the other cheek. And somebody says a bad thing about you, turn the other cheek and walk away. They didn't hurt you. They didn't hurt you at all. But if somebody comes up and lays hands on you, don't you put up with that. Not ever. Not ever. Never. And if you're a woman and you're getting thumped on at home, you get out of there. Get out of there. Get to safety. God is not holding you to that covenant. He broke the covenant. He has called us to glory and virtue. That's what God has called you to, glory and virtue. He has made you a minister of the highest rank. He wants you to be endued with power, and He wants you to make a difference, not change. He wants you to make a difference out in the mission field, out in the kingdom, out there. He wants you to make a difference out there. Amen? A change has somebody's name attached to it. They'll say, look what I did. You ever notice these different laws these politicians come up with? They attach somebody's name to it. Look what he did. But a difference, you go pray for somebody, you might not ever see that guy again. Who cares? He does. If it changed his life, you made a difference in his life. But nobody's here to thank me. You don't get to thank. God gets to praise. But I promise you, someday somebody's going to show up and they're going to say, you remember when you prayed for me? And you'll be scratching your head and trying to think, what gas station was that at? Or where was I at? And you'll be just saying, yeah, the man that saved my marriage. That saved my family. I was going to lose everything. And you prayed, and I went home, and it was all right. You prayed for me, and I never had another drink, and I never took another drug. God gets the glory, gets the praise. Amen. Our job is to make a difference in the lives around us. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that the more we learn of Jesus, the more knowledge we get of him, the more grace and peace is multiplied in our lives, and we receive it freely. You've given it to us freely, and we receive it freely. We thank you, Father, that that's all we can do is receive it. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. We can just believe it and receive it. Our hearts are open to you and all your blessings, your mercy, your peace, your grace, your shalom, the life of God. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We got coffee and snacks and a fellowship back here. Everybody's invited to come back and have some.